50 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth say Elon Musk was not at the Pentagon to receive a meeting on U.S. war plans in China. Hegseth says Musk was there to discuss military cuts.
There was no war plans. There was no Chinese war plans. There was no secret plans. That's not what we were doing at the Pentagon.
Two U.S. officials confirmed that ABC News reporting last night that Musk was slated to visit the Pentagon and attend an unclassified meeting at the Joint Chiefs of Staff that would touch on China and other topics. A judge holding a hearing today on the deportation flights that transported alleged gang members last weekend. The judge halting those flights, now reviewing whether President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act is legal. Pope Francis remains in stable condition, the Vatican says, now hospitalized for 36 days, recovering from pneumonia. Today, a trumpet player delivering an impromptu performance of Ave Maria outside the Pope's hospital window. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The two candidates vying to become the next state superintendent of public instruction met Wednesday night for an online forum to discuss their differing assessments of Wisconsin's public education system. Incumbent Jill Underley and challenger Brittany Kinzer disagreed starkly on where Wisconsin schools are right now. Kinzer said she is running to restore standards that were lowered last year and pledged to work with parents, increase transparency, and to make sure money got into classrooms, rewarded great teachers, and decreased bureaucracy.
Right now, unfortunately, 3 out of 10 children are only reading well enough to go to college or have a career. And in Milwaukee, where I live, we have the worst outcomes for our Black students, with only 5% of children reading well enough to go to college or have a career.
Underley, who has been state superintendent since 2021, pointed to different successes during her tenure.
Wisconsin's moved from 14th in the nation for education in 2020 to 6th in 2024, and now we have the highest graduation rate in our state's history, and the progress that we've made is real, but our work isn't done.
The election is April 1st. After avoiding public in-person events, Derek Van Orden held a virtual event to talk to Western Wisconsin residents. Jimmy Kuska has more.
Congressman Derek Van Orden held a virtual town hall Wednesday after facing criticism for not holding in-person events for constituents. Van Orden blames what he calls outside agitators for the decision to hold virtual events.
I want to be the most accessible member of Congress possible, and to have somebody screeching in the background that is not having a productive discussion with either myself or their fellow constituents, which is unacceptable.
Van Orden answered a handful of pre-screened questions, including responses to mass federal government layoffs and funding for the Dairy Business Initiative during the virtual event.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Badgers beat Montana. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team with a win over the Montana Grizzlies. The final 85-66 in favor of the Badgers. Guard John Blackwell led scoring with 19 points. Stephen Crowell with 18. And asked how he was more aggressive in the second half under the basket.
Credit to my coaches and my teammates for being on me about staying aggressive. Like you said, in the second half, finally got it going a little bit inside. And obviously we knew we had the size advantage.
So the Badgers move on. They play Brigham Young tomorrow night at 6:25. Cleveland, it's the Marquette Golden Eagles against New Mexico tonight. NBA, the Bucks dominated a shorthanded Lakers team, 118-89. Doc Rivers' reaction to LA resting 4 of their top players, including LeBron and Luka Doncic.
Your only concern is that your guys just keep their focus. They've had a brutal schedule, and so they had the rest guys somewhere. Picking an East Coast team is smarter than picking a West Coast team.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with winds warming us up to mild highs in the low 50s. But as a front passes through tonight, it'll spark up some spotty showers and a few flurries. And it drops us cold. But with plenty of sunshine tomorrow, highs will still reach the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills, where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Out.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will discuss if the Trump administration is defying court orders or just being cute. Plus, did the administration commit fraud and mass firings at the IRS? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Thank you for being a friend.
You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's off today, so we've put together some of the best moments over the last few weeks. Right now, you'll hear from Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name's Maggie, and you are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is Wednesday, and it is 3 p.m., and that means it's time for Broad Appeal, a segment where each week we celebrate women elected officials, specifically Democratic women elected officials that are pro-choice. We've got one of those fabulous females with us today. I'm really privileged and happy to bring onto the Maggie Dawn Show Assemblywoman for the 79th Assembly District here in the state of Wisconsin, State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. Thank you so much for joining us, Dianne. It's a real pleasure to speak with you this afternoon.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and happy Women's History Month. This is fantastic. We're off to a good start.
We are. You have been in elected office in some way, shape, or form since 2005, 20 years, my friend.
I know. It's been a long time.
A long time, a lot of change, a lot of challenges and opportunities. I want to kind of start at the beginning. Why did you decide to run back then for the Middleton Cross Plains Area School District Board of Education?
Sure. Love to tell the story. So I had three little kids, and there was a neighborhood meeting going on, and they were talking about moving the boundaries of what kids would go to which schools. And some member in the community stood up and said, well, I really don't want those people to go to our school. And I was sitting there and nobody said anything. And then I stood up and I was like, I don't want to live in a community where people will say something like that and nobody checks it. That's not okay. And so none of the school board members said anything. Nobody said anything. And so I ran for school board and I won. And I'm really happy that I won. I served there a number of years. And then later on, had an issue on the Dane County board, and my Dane County board supervisor never called me back. So I decided to run against her, a 16-year incumbent, and I beat her. And then in the state assembly and now the state senate. So it's been a marvelous ride, but really it started with just being at a meeting and being annoyed and mad that something terrible was said and nobody did anything. And sometimes you have to be the change to make your community change.
As they say, be the change you want to see in the world. Yeah. The old NIMBY phenomena and the us versus them seems to be quite persistent in a lot of our public dialogue. And congrats on your County Board of Supervisors win as well. I don't think people recognize that incumbency, especially when it comes to some of these local elected offices, often is outcome determinative in many elections. It is literally a cakewalk. And so my congratulations to you for taking that on and unseating an incumbent. And I just want to take that opportunity to say to each and every one of our listeners out there, if you have seen something happen in your local community that, just like Senator Hesselbein, you don't like or you think you deserve better, or phone calls or emails that go unreturned, unresponded to, guess what? That's your opening, everybody.
Absolutely.
Think about a run.
Yes. My being county board supervisor, I called 3 times about an issue. She never called me back. And then she voted the way I wanted her to. And then she stood up that night and to say, you know, I think I'm going to vote for this project. There might be a school board member looking, you know, wondering what I'm going to do. So she got the message, never called me back. So I called her the next day and I said, thank you so much for your vote on this project. However, I'm going to run against you because you never called me back. Well, guess what? Then she called me back. Then we met for coffee and she told me I should not run because your husband travels for a living and your kids need you at home.
I'm sorry.
Not kidding. Nothing motivates somebody more than someone telling you to stay home.
Listen, Senator, I have to share with you that yesterday I was having a discussion with a good friend of mine and I said to her, you know, people often underestimate the power of a very determined, highly competent woman, let alone a group of us when we decide to set our minds to something. It's incredible to me that the very thing that I was speaking about, of course, the power of incumbency, the sense of entitlement that a lot of elected officials have to their offices, played out in very literal terms in this discussion you had way back when you decided and then won your Dane County Board of Supervisors seat back in 2008. Now, you joined the Assembly just over 10 years ago. Congratulations on your most recent reelection. Tell people what's motivating you to continue to want to be part of what is a highly divisive, divided state government. What are your priorities, Senator?
I love public service. And I think the things we don't talk about is the way we help our friends and neighbors. We have listening sessions, people stop us in the grocery store, whatever, and they tell us their problems. Now, sometimes I can solve those problems and sometimes I can't. Sometimes I say, you know, go talk to our good friend, Congressman Mark Buchan, that's a federal issue. But we work in tandem helping each other. And he also, if there's state issues, he'll send them back to me. So helping people solve their issues is really what keeps me in public service. And working with a great Democratic caucus, we have 15 members in the state Senate right now. I can't tell you, we had 11 last year. We were able to flip 4 seats. It's been a game changer. We're having conversations with Republicans we haven't ever had. So we're poised to take the majority in 2 years and we're gonna be doing it. And until then, we're gonna continue to try to work with Republicans to pass things to help the state of Wisconsin. When we can agree, we will agree. When we can't, we certainly aren't gonna be letting go of our values.
Senator, do you think that the new maps have helped spur a more cooperative and incentivized a more cooperative across the aisle approach, despite how things may get talked about when elected officials in state government, in the state assembly and Senate are giving comments? Do you think the new maps, especially on the Senate side, have spurred and created incentives to collaborate?
Absolutely. These maps have been a game changer for the entire state of Wisconsin. People can finally pick who they want to represent them and not have it automatically be a decided thing before they even go to the polls with these extremely gerrymandered maps. And we have 18 Republicans in the state Senate, 15 state Senate Democrats. How are we going to pass a budget? You know, they used to have a rule. I don't know if a lot of your members know, but it was 17 people. They said 17 people in the Republican caucus would have to vote for a bill before it came to the floor. That's not going to happen this time. They're not going to be able to get 17 votes for a lot of things. So those conversations are already happening on how we're going to move forward on specific policies.
What are you looking for or most concerned about, both on the opportunity side and potentially on the threat side, in this next biennial budget, Senator?
Well, I'm really excited about what Governor Evers did and his budget, of course. I'm really happy he put such another, you know, record-blowing information and money into K-12 education. We really need it. Supporting our public universities, really near and dear to my heart. They desperately need it for years. Both K-12 and public universities have been underfunded. And really, that's one of the big reasons why we have this $4 billion surplus, is because we haven't been funding education the way that we should have for over 10 years. So of course, when you don't do that, you starve something. Where does that money go? It's sitting in a kitty. No one's using it. We need to be giving it back to public schools. So I'm hopeful that we can do that.
Senator, your point is extremely well taken. And every opportunity I have, I like to remind everyone that is listening that though Governor Evers has, throughout the course of his administration, prioritized educational funding, he's had to do that because for the decade plus that Republicans controlled both the legislative and executive branches in our state, they engaged what was a generationally acute and extreme defunding of public education. We're effectively trying to reduce the harm by refunding public education at a moment in time where, candidly, Senator, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, the lack of commitment to educational funding, public educational funding, is harming rural school districts at a greater relative scale than it is larger school districts that, frankly, have the economies of scale or the largeness to absorb some of those funding pinches, though we're seeing that funding problem across the state. I also wondered if you could make comment about your Republican colleagues' thought that they may introduce legislation to strip away from taxpayers and Wisconsinites the right to say, yes, we will pay more in property tax to fund our local school districts.
Sure. So, Republicans run, they say they support public schools every single time. We look at their literature that they're leaving in doors and mailboxes, and we're like, what in the world is going on? Because you do not support public schools like you should be. And they have been underfunding it for so long. Back when I went to even college, it was affordable, right? Because if people are like, oh, Robin Voss will always say that's because there's too much administration. No, it's because the state is no longer putting those dollars into our public universities so that tuition can be affordable for those students. And that's the problem that we have. So I know we're going to continue to work on this budget, and hopefully we can come to some spot where maybe for the first time ever, I'll be able to vote for it. We'll see.
I certainly hope we see a good faith commitment to public education from your Republican colleagues. Folks, if you're just joining us, I am joined by Wisconsin Senator Dianne Hesselbein. She's with the 79th Senate District. We're talking about our state budget. I'm very curious, Senator, did you watch Donald Trump's first address to the joint session of Congress yesterday?
I did watch some of it. We had someone over at our house, but I did catch some of it. How awful, how unstatesmanlike. What a trash show. It seemed like a reality show. I felt like I was reading The Onion. I was like, what is going on? How so unpresidential and embarrassing. And I kept thinking, okay, it's going to get better. And then it didn't. And I thought, this is just awful.
Its terribleness was only outmatched by its ridiculously long runtime. I wasn't sure I could ever get so bored as to potentially nod off in a Donald Trump stump speech, which is what it felt like to me, just a rally speech. But I did. I actually found myself nodding off towards the end. When is this guy going to stop talking? Wow. We're going to talk more with the senator when we come back after these brief messages. We're going to dig into the State of the Union a little bit more. We're also going to touch on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. Always interested to hear what female elected officials have to say about Judge Brad Schimel's Supreme Court candidate statements that, you know, those female justices are just too gosh darn emotional. All of that and so much more coming up in just a few moments back here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And make sure, everyone, speaking of that Supreme Court race, you know that general election is coming up in, oh my gosh, less than 30 days on April 1st. Make sure you have a voting plan. Early voting starts soon. So absolutely make sure that you have gotten your voting plan together. Check out your ballot, check out your polling place, and confirm your registration at myvote.wi.gov. We're going to take care of some business and come right back with Wisconsin State Senator Dianne Hesselbein after these brief messages right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
News from the center, WRCE.
Hey Badger fans, the time-honored Crazy Legs Classic is back in Madison on Saturday, April 26th. Take on the 8K run, 2-mile walk, or 8K wheelchair race, and kick off spring with your fellow Badgers. The Crazy Legs Classic is presented by Everlight Solar, J.D. McCormick Properties, Odyssey Greek Yogurt, Mueller Sports Madison, and WMTV 15. Sign up now for one of Madison's greatest springtime traditions on Saturday, April 26th at CrazyLegsClassic.com. That's CrazyLegsClassic.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A Washington state audit of rejected 2020 mail-in ballots offers insight on whose ballots are more likely to be rejected and recommends actions to reduce that number, over 37,000 in 2024. Primary reasons for rejection include ballots received or postmarked after Election Day, a missing signature on a ballot envelope, or the voter's signature couldn't be confirmed. Auditors found 2020 rates varied from a high of 1.5% in Franklin County to 0.02% in Columbia County, but they also found higher rejections of younger voters, 18 to 21, where 2.6% of ballots were rejected, and black voters at 2.5%. They also found that non-native English speakers were 47% more likely to have ballots rejected. Signature issues can often be cured, but many voters don't or can't correct it. The auditors recommended outreach programs on college campuses, sending letters and calling voters with curable signature issues, more training on signature verification, opening early voting centers 18 days before the election, an advisory committee for disabled voters, and ballot drop boxes for every 15,000 voters. In the 2024 general election, Washington's statewide rejection rate had dropped to 0.94%, but of those, over 24,000 were rejected for a mismatched signature. Find a link to the audit at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 3 p.m., and we have got broad appeal. This week's guest is Wisconsin State Senator Dianne Hesselbein of the 27th Senate District. Just want to correct one of my misspeaks. I had incorrectly identified the senator as coming from the 79th Senate District, which is impossible because there aren't that many of them. She, of course, served previously in the Wisconsin State Assembly and also as the assistant minority leader from 2017 to 22, and her assembly district was the 79th. Welcome back, Senator. I wanted to ask you specifically about Donald Trump's statements yesterday, not just about farmers, but he repeatedly said he's going to serve farmers. He loves farmers. He loves the middle class. He loves steel. I mean, there wasn't a middle class working group of people that he didn't try to show some love to. But just like a smiling face that belies a very sinister intent, it's easy to say to a group of people that you love them and you support them. But the truth of the matter on the ground is quite different here for Wisconsinites. What was your reaction? What were you thinking as you heard the president express his love for all of these different groups of people?
My parents always taught me that actions speak louder than words. And he can say whatever it is that he wants, but we know that he is making terrible decisions with his buddy Elon Musk, and it is hurting regular people in the state of Wisconsin. Whether it's veterans, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin just put out a call. She started the Dairy Business Innovation, Wisconsin Dairy Business Innovation in 2008, the Farm Bill. Well, big surprise, though, the money's not getting to where the people were told it was going to go. So she's sounding the alarm saying that's not happening with all the chaos and the confusion happening in D.C. Also, we just got a call this morning that veterans aren't receiving their tuition on time for the GI Bill, which they have earned. That is their earned benefit, and they should be able to go wherever they want with that GI Bill. And in the past, they have been, and the tuition was paid on time under different administrations. It is not being done so now, so we're following up with that today to try to figure out what to do, because we don't want these veterans to be penalized because they don't get their payments done on time. And that's usually what happens in a higher education, so we're trying to figure that out. yesterday. I was visited by Alzheimer's people that care about Alzheimer's. My dad had Alzheimer's, so I think I'm always a soft spot for that, for them to come to my office and tell me new things we could be doing. They also look at what other states are doing to help patients and people with Alzheimer's. But somebody from the university was there saying that they are no longer able to do all the research that they do at our university on Alzheimer's because people aren't at the National Institute of Health making sure that those federal grants are being paid and those applications aren't even being looked at because there's nobody to look at them on the federal level. And those are just three examples that we just found out within the last 24 hours. So if your listeners are hearing this and you know that you've been impacted by the chaos and the confusion happening in Washington, D.C., please reach out to our offices and let us know what's going on because we are here to serve you. And that's why I got into public service in the first place.
How can they reach your office, Senator? Is there a best email or phone number that you prefer that people use?
Yeah, 608-266-6670. They can send an email to anybody. Look, and always reach out to your state senator and state representative. If you are living in a Republican district, don't be afraid to reach out to them as well, because that's our job. Our job is to serve the people that send us to work. And whether you voted for us or not, whether you're a Republican listening and you're like, I'm having a problem, that's my job, is to try to help you.
Folks, you're listening to Senator Dianne Hesselbein, Wisconsin State Senator from the proud 27th Senate District. Her office number again is 608-266-6670. Did I get that right, Senator?
You absolutely did.
We're going to put that in our show notes, as we always do, folks. You can find those at civicmedia.us/shows. Just look for the Maggie Dawn Show. We'll include that number if you want to reach out to the senator. With the time that we've got remaining this afternoon, Senator, and again, thank you for joining us today. I'd like to turn to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. We have some sound from what current Waukesha County Circuit Court Judge Brad Schimmel just said about a number of the justices on the court. Let's take a listen.
And the other thing that I noted, there were times that when that camera went on, several of the liberal justices, they were on the brink of losing it. You could see it in their eyes and you could hear it in the tone of their voice. They are being driven by their emotions. A Supreme Court justice had better be able to set their personal opinions and their emotions aside and rule on the law objectively. This is, we don't have that objectivity on this court.
Senator, I'll set aside for some time that I've got to counter, you know, objectively applying the law, because Brad Schimmel can't even read Wisconsin open meetings law as it reads plainly in our state statutes. Brad Schimmel, calling the four women on the court emotional when it comes to a court case about women's bodily autonomy, I think take some cojones, to put it mildly. What was your reaction to Mr. Schimmel's campaign overall, and in particular these statements?
Well, first of all, when I heard that he said that, I watched it. I wanted to see what the justices said and what he considered was too emotional. And I'm telling you, it wasn't. They were pointed conversations, questions that they were asking and wanted an answer to. They weren't even sounding angry. I have no idea where he even got that they were being emotional or that there was something in their eyes. Brad Schimmel was wrong as attorney general, not testing those rape kits. And then he bought those goofy coins that say kicking ass every day. He was terrible as attorney general, and he would be terrible on the Supreme Court. He is just, he's going to do whatever his, you know, money backer Elon Musk tells him to do. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. And we cannot let Wisconsin be bought and sold. Our rights cannot be bought and sold in the state of Wisconsin. We won't stand for it.
Couldn't agree with you more, folks. That is State Senator Dianne Hesselbein. Again, if you want to reach out to the senator, she's got Wisconsin State Senate District 27 covering the area around Dane County and Madison, Middleton, et cetera. You can reach her at 608-266-6670. And I'll double down. Make sure you've got a voting plan. Our general election for the spring cycle is April 1st. Make sure you've got a voting plan. Get your voting done early if you can. Then you don't have to worry about it on April 1. You can find all of that information and much, much more. Take a look at your ballot. Confirm your polling place all at myvote.wi.gov. Thank you so much, Senator. I can't wait to have you back. What's one thing that the people listening might be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, I'm addicted to Turner Classic Movies. I think it's because they're gentle. I listen to it a lot. Like, people are like, did you watch this on Netflix? And I was like, no, there was something else on. I also love The Golden Girls and Murder, She Wrote. Big fan of Angela Lansbury. I think she is just fantastic. I love her outfits. I love what she can solve.
We're going to have you back, Senator, to just talk Golden Girls and Murder, She Wrote. I used to try to get all of my chores done back in the day so I could sit down at 8 o'clock and watch Murder, She Wrote. Folks, that's going to do it for us. We'll be right back with Over the Hump and Trump right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Happy first day of spring. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Thursday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Cheese has been all over the map on prices. We'll be taking a look at those later in the segment. One of the reasons for the swing in price is that the U.S. is trying to stay competitive in our global marketplace. Dairy specialist Matt Tranel joins us from EverEgg's Platteville office. He says the U.S. is competing with low-ball markets like New Zealand.
When we look at New Zealand, they recently had their global dairy trade on Tuesday, and their cheese price also moved a bit higher. We were up 1.2%, and it ended up at $2.26 a pound. And so we're almost 65 to 70 cents better than New Zealand cheese coming out of Oceania. So undoubtedly, U.S. cheese is very competitively priced in the world market, and we should be getting some very nice exports off, which, as we talked last week, we need good exports in 2025.
Matt Tranel along with us. He's a dairy broker and analyst with EverEgg out of their Platteville office. You can find him online at EVER.AG. Don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at how cheese prices closed today after this.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
With the push of a button, you could save lives and the livelihood of others in your area. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to help keep an eye on the sky this season. You can help by taking real-time weather observations on your phone and alerting the National Weather Service about severe weather occurring where you are. Volunteer weather observers play an important role in tracking and relaying vital weather information. To find out how you can become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
In Wisconsin, most of the milk we produce is Class 3 milk, which means that it goes towards cheese production. Today, milk contracts have been trading lower. The April Class 3 milk price is down 8 cents at $16.98 a hundredweight. The May contract is down a penny at $17.25. On the close, barrel cheese was unchanged from yesterday at $1.56.5. The 40-pound block cheese was actually up a penny and a half at $1.62. Looking at AA butter, that's sitting unchanged from Tuesday at $2.29.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with winds warming us up to mild highs in the low 50s. But as a front passes through tonight, it'll spark up some spotty showers and a few flurries. And it drops us cold. But with plenty of sunshine tomorrow, highs will still reach the mid-40s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Barry Mack, you were supposed to be on the show about 3 weeks ago, but I got really sick. Like, I slept on a mattress that you might have driven to the dump.
Still like last time, I am actively smuggling in mattresses from Minnesota because they recycle them for free.
You should probably keep that on the download.
Well, yeah, but how am I going to get any business unless they start talking about it, Pete?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I used to smoke.
I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we've got Angela Lang from Block here as our co-host for the day. Also, Representative Darren B. Madison, and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's off today, but we've put together some of the best moments over the last few weeks. Right now, hear from Karina Twiddell of the Wisconsin Ukrainians.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us for this last half hour of great discussions, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Well, I hope you have a plan to vote on April 1st. It is a monumentally important election for the state of Wisconsin. The future of our public schools will be decided, as well as, I'm just going to say it straight up, a woman's right to control her body will also be decided on April 1st. Please make sure that you are registered to vote, that you know where your polling place is, that you've crossed all of your T's and dotted all of your I's. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. Please take the time to check it out. Make a voting plan. Take a friend. Take a neighbor. Take someone who maybe doesn't have a car. Make a voting plan, maybe even early vote. Just get that out of the way so you don't have to worry about lines on polling day. Right now, I am very humbled and privileged to round out today's Monday program. We began by talking about Ukraine, and we end today also by talking about Ukraine. I'm joined by a representative of Wisconsin Ukrainians, Karina Twiddell. Welcome to the show, Karina. You've had a very busy weekend.
Thank you so much, Maggie. It's an honor to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. Wisconsin Ukrainians, very busy over the past weekend. I believe you had three rallies in Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. Tell us why you were rallying, although I hope that is abundantly obvious to everyone. How did the rallies go? What was your message that you want Wisconsinites to hear and that you want the Trump administration to hear?
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually started getting busy last week. We had our planned rallies to commemorate the third anniversary of the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And I just wanted to emphasize that when we talk about the war in Ukraine, I wanted for our listeners to be clear that it did not start in 2022. My hometown is actually in the area that has been occupied by Russia since 2014. So this is 11 years now. So for anybody who claims, maybe any administration that might be claiming that the war would not be happening under them, this has been with Obama and Trump and Biden, then Trump again, that the war in Ukraine has been lasting. But after last week, we actually needed to do emergency rallies just this past week. And we were really grateful for our community coming together in a matter of just one day. We organized it overnight. Like you said, it was in Madison, Green Bay, and in Milwaukee. The turnout was spectacular. In Milwaukee, I can attest that we had a few hundred people, so really good turnout considering we only had a day to let everybody know. And we organized those rallies in response to the meeting between President Zelensky and President Trump, just seeing just how things went down and seeing the lack of support and honestly just some of the Russia's propaganda that came out through some of the points that President Trump and Vance were sharing was deeply, deeply concerning. So we came out to stand up for truth and to dispel some of the lies that were propagated during that meeting.
Yeah, just to correct the record on some of those lies and some of the lies that have been told over the past week by Donald Trump, Vice President Vance, as well as senators like Lindsey Graham. Here are some of the lies. Obviously, Ukraine did not start the war. Russia invaded a sovereign country. Full-scale invasion, as my guest Karina has pointed out, began just over 3 years ago. Here's another lie. Donald Trump, in that meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, claiming that the United States has provided $350 billion to Ukraine and that half the money is missing. That's a lie. We've provided about $100 billion, the vast majority of which has been in the form of weapons from U.S. stockpiles, which defense industries here at home then replaced and sold and did business. So it was an overall plus for the U.S. defense industry. None of that support is missing. And in fact, Donald Trump's handpicked special envoy to Ukraine, Keith Kellogg, said, quote, "We have a pretty good accounting of where it's going." Wow. And just a week ago, Saturday, so not this past Saturday, but a week before Saturday, Putin launched 267 drones into Ukraine, which was by far the largest drone attack of the war to date. What are Wisconsin Ukrainians, what has there been their response to what can only be described as an about face of decades of U.S. foreign policy and a commitment to support Ukraine in its stand against an aggressor with no respect for sovereign boundaries?
We are incredibly concerned and understandably worried. So many of us have relatives, very close friends still in Ukraine. And like you mentioned, that the air raids are happening every day. The drone attacks are daily. And just talking to my uncle, who is right now in Kyiv yesterday, he was saying that they're just used to it. At this point, they don't even go to bomb shelters. It's so exhausting living in this reality for so long that people are just used to going to work and recognizing that they might not come back alive. So it's very, very scary. But I think it's really important to keep in mind that this is not just about Ukraine. What's happening in Ukraine right now is really the war against the West. And if Ukraine falls, then the consequences are going to impact the whole world, because right now Putin is illegally invading Ukraine. And if we appease Putin right now, then these kinds of actions are then okay. So the United States siding with North Korea and siding with Belarus during the UN vote resolution, is just an absolutely concerning direction. And I think it's important for all citizens who are paying attention right now to stand up and say that this is not what America's populace wants, that this is not who our allies are.
I think your point about it is an attack on the West by proxy, right? That the alignment of Ukrainian interests and American interests wasn't some idea pulled out of thin air by prior administrations. It was an extension of all post-Cold War and post-World War II U.S. foreign policy to defend our Western democratic allies. And Putin's aims for the last 25 years to weaken the alignment of the United States and our Western European and post or former Soviet Union new allies has been well known, to destabilize, to draw and place a wedge between these interests. But whether or not this administration chooses to see the alignment of interests between Ukraine and the United States or not, the fact that Donald Trump is trying to now somehow invent a difference in objective between the United States and Ukraine, or to impose upon Ukraine a deal negotiated without Ukrainians at the table, without President Zelensky at the table, will do nothing about the actual reality of the threat that Putin poses to the West. That is a fact, and certainly a fact supported by universal opinion from the entire U.S. intelligence community over the last 25 years, make no mistake. I wanted to get in and ask you, Karina, as a Ukrainian, what was your reaction to the tone of the meeting, to the meeting itself? As an American, I was simply shocked. And even had it not been an ally, I would have been less shocked, but still shocked to watch an American president engage in shouting down another foreign leader from the Oval Office. What was your personal reaction to that meeting? What is the reaction of your fellow Wisconsin Ukrainians?
Yeah, it was absolutely appalling and really hard to watch, just infuriating. And there's another little known fact that in 1994, there was a Budapest memorandum that was signed between the United States, Russia, and the United Kingdom at the time, in order to basically say that Ukraine should give up their nuclear weapons. So at the time, United States was one of the parties that promised to Ukraine, we're going to protect you. Now give up your nuclear weapons. And Ukraine at that time had the third largest nuclear arsenal in the world. So thinking about how much might we had back then, and then we relied on who we thought were our partners saying that they would protect us, and to now for Donald Trump to act in a way that if, as if Ukraine is somehow owing something to the United States, where absolutely United States benefits from supporting Ukraine right now. This is in United States security and national interest to support Ukraine. Because if we are going to allow the world order to be in such a way that illegal annexations are just common thing, that our world stability is going to fall apart. And especially for a lot of people that are struggling right now with the prices, with inflation, I think it's really important to keep in mind that we're all interconnected and the world order is impacting our prices. It's impacting our gas prices. It's impacting how available certain products are, the trade. So just simply hiding away from the reality and pretending that we can focus on our country here in the United States is just so short-sighted and very misguided.
Extraordinarily well taken points, Karina. Folks, if you're just joining us, my guest for this segment, her name is Karina Twiddell. She is with the Wisconsin Ukrainians. Two things that I just for re-emphasis is one, the reason that the U.S. expends money in foreign aid for our allies that we've entered into these agreements is often the expression of soft power. Foreign aid often under attack from some conservatives, but the very brass tacks reality of these arrangements is that the amount that we have to expend in this use of soft power is a tiny fraction of what it would cost the United States if an active war and we had to commit troops if Russia continues its system of aggression, or if the West further destabilizes. That's in direct military spending vis-a-vis foreign aid. Secondly, we're already seeing the impacts of this destabilization in our prices. You watch Western Europe destabilize further, potential tariff wars, all of these things. This is going to make it so much harder for the middle class and folks that may be more fiscally conservative for us to return to a steady economic growth cycle and low inflationary cycle. Incredibly well taken points, Karina. Where can people find out more about your organization and how can they help?
Sure. Yes, we have a website. It's Wisconsin-Ukrainians.org, or you can just search for Wisconsin Ukrainians, the full name of our organization, Wisconsin Ukrainians, Inc. And we're also really active on Facebook and Instagram. You can, again, just search for Wisconsin Ukrainians, Inc. And we also have a really active presence on these social media websites. So definitely feel free. I know some Americans who don't have any connections to Ukraine feel a little shy joining, but we absolutely welcome anybody and everybody who values freedom and democracy to join our cause.
Folks, that's Karina Twiddell of Wisconsin Ukrainians. I'll have some final thoughts on these incredible moments in our nation's history when we return right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay. Izervay
or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness and, more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's enjoying the day off, so we've put together some of the best moments over the last few weeks. Right now, enjoy Maggie's closing remarks.
Welcome back, everybody. I can't believe we're already here. It's the last segment on Monday. If you want to get in your thoughts, it's been a very busy start to our week. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, if you are a first-time caller, a woman, a conservative, or a vet, you will go to the top of the line every time here on the Maggie Dawn Show. I want to give a special full-throated, big-hearted thanks to my last guest. She's from the Wisconsin Ukrainians. Her name is Karina Twiddell. I will finally maybe be able to say her name without stumbling over it once on this show. They organized 3 rallies this past Sunday, just yesterday, across Wisconsin. You can find out more about their organization. You can get involved at www.wisconsin-ukrainians.org. That's www.wisconsin-ukrainians.org. I was incredibly impressed. I went and checked out their website, spent some time on it today. They received their 501c3 designation in April of 2022. They've got their strategic plan, their annual report up there. Very impressive organization doing great work. There are over 10,000 Ukrainians living in Wisconsin. Again, a big thank you to Karina. Just wanted to share some More breaking news again, confirmed. President Trump says 25% tariffs against Mexico and Canada will take effect tomorrow, Tuesday, March 4th. Stocks are plunging as we speak. Perhaps we've got a Black Tuesday that we're looking at tomorrow. I don't know how this is going to help keep eggs cheap. I really, really don't know how that's going to work exactly. I don't know how it's going to make housing less expensive. Don't know that either. We'll soon find out, I guess. I wanted to close out our discussion about Ukraine today by sharing a few things that I learned over the weekend. I think we need to remind ourselves that Kremlin officials celebrated on Friday. And regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, I forget the last time I heard a Republican friend of mine saying, when Russia wins, so does the U.S. I was struggling to remember when exactly one of my Republican friends, or frankly, any Republican elected official, made that claim. I don't understand it. Here is what the Moscow Times reported. This is Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said to a reporter on state television, the new administration, the Trump administration, is rapidly changing all foreign policy configuration. This largely aligns with our vision. When did Republicans decide that the U.S.'s job is to execute the Kremlin's vision on foreign policy? I forgot that part of the debate. I wish someone could point me to that portion of the election cycle where Donald Trump and other Republicans stood up, where Tony Weed stood up, where Derek Van Orten stood up, where Brian Stiles stood up, where Scott Fitzgerald stood up and said, the American foreign policy objective is now to accomplish the vision of the Kremlin. And again, do not forget the meta context here. Pete Hegseth giving an order after that disastrous meeting on Friday to cease the U.S. Cyber Command within the Department of Defense from its counter-cyber efforts with respect to Russia. I'm sorry, what? Even conservatives, and I'm going to say conservatives of good faith, are calling out how absolutely ridiculous this about-face on 85 years of American foreign policy has been. This is a conservative columnist. His name is Isaac Shore. There are outright lies. The verbal brawl between the three men began not because Zelensky was rude or came in looking for a fight, but because Trump and Vance were criticizing their guest. After Vance blamed the previous American administration for prolonging the war, Zelensky pointed out that the Russians had launched multiple wars of aggression over the last decade, committed atrocities against Ukrainian citizens, and violated past agreements. Vance responded by calling him disrespectful. Even setting aside the mendacious retelling of what happened in the Oval Office, this defense of Trump is rather a staggering indictment. Do conservatives even hear themselves? Let's close out with a reminder of what JFK called us all to do back on January 9th, 1961, to be that shining city on a hill. And to be that shining city on a hill, we must constantly be reminded by the great trust we place in our leaders and their heavy responsibilities. That's going to do it for me. Folks, we got a couple guest hosts in for Dom Salvia today. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for Ukraine.
When the night is cold and still, when you thought you'd had your fill, this is not a test, it's not a drill. Take no prisoners.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome This Week in Waukesha host Don Brown and Milwaukee native and writer-director of Just a Bit Outside, Sean Hannish. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ahead of a hearing today on deportations, President Trump continued to criticize the federal judge who ordered a temporary halt to those deportations of alleged gang members last weekend. As the president uses the Alien Enemies Act, ABC's Selena Wang has more.
It was really notable just to underscore what the president said there in that room to our Karen Travers when she asked if the president has the power to round up hundreds of people, deport them to a foreign country with no hearing, and that the president has no obligation to any court to show what the evidence is against those people or what their names are. And the president's response was, quote, that's what the law said, what our country needs.
Homeland Security announcing it's closing the entire Office of Civil Liberties. The department's mission was to help support DHS to secure the nation while preserving individual liberty, fairness, and equality under the law. Egg prices dropping for a fourth straight week. Wholesale prices for a dozen now set at $3.27. This is ABC News.